I'm Meg Dahl, your Unbreakable host. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Unbreakable You podcast. I am so excited to be back at it this week with you guys. I hope that you thoroughly enjoyed the past two episodes. If you haven't tuned into episodes 20 and 21, definitely go check those out. Those were my first solo episodes. I wanted to change things up a bit. And as I mentioned, I was getting a lot of questions about anxiety and just my journey through anxiety, but also some natural approaches to supporting you in addressing your anxiety or mental health. So I had a lot of fun with those two episodes. So I really hope you go check them out. And I was getting a lot of great feedback from you guys. So thank you so much. I had so much fun last week guiding you through a meditation. I've received a lot of positive feedback on that specifically. And then the section on essential oils for anxiety. A lot of you seemed to really enjoy those two pieces of last week's episode. So, my thoughts moving forward, I would love to begin today's episode with a meditation since so many of you seemed to enjoy it so much last week. We won't do this every single episode, but I just figured that since Saturday was the new moon and I felt huge shifts from this new moon in particular, I just thought it was really great timing to begin another podcast with a meditation. So this new moon brought up a lot of feelings of growth and expansion and like deserving of abundance for me. So those are kind of the themes for me in this new phase that we're in right now. And really that is what a new moon is. We can begin new at any point in time within our lives, but I really love using the energy of the moon cycle to sync that up with my life and what I'm working on and what I'm working through. And it's just been really powerful for me. I've been doing that for over a year now, and it's just totally changed my life, is really paying attention to the moons, the moon phases, and their energies. So one of the best things about new moons is it's all about new beginnings. So I think that's a great enough reason to begin today's episode with the meditation. So if you will, join me in this meditation by just inhaling through your nose and letting out a nice full exhale through your mouth. And I would love for you to do that three times, and then we will begin. And you can close your eyes during this as well, because there will be some visual pieces to this as well. So just three nice inhales through your nose and full exhales through your mouth three times, and then we'll begin. And when you're ready to begin with your eyes closed, I want you to visualize yourself lying on the floor And you can see yourself lying there in an empty room. So you can see all of these walls around you. It's a larger room, but you can see yourself lying there in an empty room with four walls surrounding you. And now I want you to visualize a beautiful bright white light streaming from your heart. So this white light is just really radiating from your heart center, and you can see this. You're seeing yourself lie there with this brilliant white light coming from your heart. And continue to breathe in and out. So just continue to be mindful of your breath. And with each exhale, I want you to visualize this white light coming from your heart. And this white light is going to grow bigger and bigger and just expand farther and farther into the room from your heart. And with each exhale, this bright white light is just growing and expanding. And eventually, it is touching the walls that you've been seeing around you. So this white light is just growing and growing with every exhale. And now it is so big that it's actually touching the walls. So you can see yourself lying in this room with this bright white light coming from your heart. And the white light is so big now that it's actually taking up the entire room. And this white light represents all the goodness that you are able to put out into the world. So it's coming from within you. And with every inhale, I want you to really tune into the fact that you are filled with so much good and you have so much to offer the world. And with every exhale, this white light expands and it represents the goodness that you are putting out into the world. So exhale, and it's all your gifts and talents and love that you're spreading into the world, onto others. And then with every inhale, it's you receiving it back. You are receiving growth. You are receiving expansion. And you are receiving abundance. Because you are worthy of abundance. Because you put so much goodness out into the world. And you are worthy and deserving of receiving it back. So I want you to inhale and exhale a few more times, 3 to 5 more times, before slowly opening your eyes and coming back to the present and joining me here, where we will continue with today's show. So I hope you enjoyed that meditation, and I welcome you to come back to this episode, episode 22, whenever you are in need of a meditation that is going to open up your heart and allow you to experience growth, expansion, and abundance and feelings of worthiness, and know that you are deserving of it all. So, oh, I absolutely love starting it off with a meditation. So maybe for every new moon, we will start it off with a meditation. But let's get going on this week's episode because it is absolutely divine. I am joined by one of the women that I have seriously been admiring for years and have truthfully just had this vision of speaking to her one day, Jessica Flanagan. So I started following Jessica years ago, and her work has always just hit me right where it felt so good, and I've always had this desire to learn more from her and connect with her on a deep level. So I am just absolutely honored to have Jessica Flanagan join me in today's episode. We talk about so much good stuff. You guys are going to love this episode. We talk about safety. We talk about going beyond diet to heal ourselves. We talk about going within and really getting clear on the answers that we have always held within us. So that is really one of Jessica's main messages and something that I believe and support my clients with as well is I always tell my clients that they hold the answers, right? I truly believe we all hold the answers we need to heal, and that is one of Jessica's messages. And I am just so excited to get to today's episode. So without any further ado, I welcome Jessica Flanagan. Jessica, welcome to the show. Honestly, it has been years of me wanting to sit down with you, and that's not even an exaggeration. So today is like one of the happiest days of my life.
Well, I'm really honored to be here. I'm so in appreciation for these conversations that are really ushering in transformation for a lot of people that you're having. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I know there definitely will be transformation taking place. I mean, this podcast is going to be coming out at such a great time with all of the energetic shifts happening within our world too. So I think this is so timely. But if people haven't been following you for years like I have, do you want to give us a little bit of an introduction on yourself?
Sure. So my webpage is AIPlifestyle.com, and a lot of people might know me from that, but it's actually changing. It's changing to JessicaFlanagan.com. I run the Autoimmune Protocol Diet page on Facebook, and I also run the Beyond AIP Facebook group, and then I'm AIP Lifestyle on Instagram, and then my book is The Loving Diet. So I feel like that's I'm a clinical nutritionist. I've just actually launched in the last 6 months my spiritual coaching certification program for practitioners. So I'm doing quite a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, if you log on to your website, you know, you are a spiritual coach and a clinical nutritionist, health coach, and just a practitioner for the loving diet. There's so many titles that you hold, but you mentioned AIP quite a bit. So obviously you have a health journey. So do you want to share a little bit about that with us, just so we know what brought you to where you are today and what has like given you all the wisdom that you have?
So I've been a nutritionist for over 20 years, but I have an identical twin sister, and she was diagnosed about 10 years ago, over 10 years now, with Hashimoto's and then with celiac. And then of course, her being my sister, she said, "Well, you're a nutritionist and we have the same genetics. What should I do?" And this was before AIP even started. Slowly over the next few years, you know, first she went on the specific carbohydrate diet, and then she went autoimmune paleo. Really my journey into autoimmune paleo world started as a nutritionist trying to help my identical twin, who she herself had just gotten diagnosed with two illnesses and didn't know what to do or how to eat.
Okay. So did it provide her with a lot of help, or what were your results with that?
She felt the best on the specific carbohydrate diet. When she went AIP, her antibodies dropped by half. And so she's a real typical kind of person that I see in autoimmune paleo, which is she got a lot of really great results at the beginning. So my sister and I both were on AIP. She was on AIP for over 4 years. I was on AIP for over three. But what happened was that she stagnated and stalled. And so then she's a perfect example of the clients that I work with, of people who are, I call, perfect performers, who do AIP perfectly, but either stall or relapse or get worse or start fighting other issues like issues around food and the lack of choice and feeling deprived and feeling like they need to restrict to heal. And so my sister went into that category, like most people I see on autoimmune paleo, after they've been on it for too long. You know, they mm-hmm. use it too much as the center of healing rather than looking at all the root causes. So now I help people get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're very much like beyond AIP. So thank you so much for sharing that little bit, because that really got me excited where this conversation is going, because I too am a holistic nutritionist, and a lot of women and just like, you know, females come to me all caught up in the diet mentality and not necessarily dieting to lose weight like, you know, a typical diet would be followed, but following a healing protocol such as AIP, but getting so wrapped up in it, and like you were saying, they get into this restrictive mindset. And so you and I have that in common, dealing with a lot of clients like that. So this is a huge issue, and I cannot wait to dive into it with you. So why do you think this is, that so many people get to this point? Like you said, they start following it for too long, right?
Yes. Well, it's different for everybody. And so one of the biggest drawbacks with AIP is that it's not customized enough to consider people's genetics, their trauma, perhaps, that, you know, is driving a lot of what's going on. It parasites in the gut, you know, just viruses, those things are really up for a lot of people. And so AIP works really great temporarily and at the beginning. It is a elimination diet. It's a restrictive elimination diet that works in the short term. And then because it works, people just adapt it. I find that a lot of people adapt it because when they start trying to reintroduce foods, it doesn't work. They actually have a lot of food sensitivities. So they say, well, I've been AIP for a year, but when I started to try to reintroduce almond butter, I got some horrible stomach aches. And so it's that pivot point where I feel like, because AIP is run by so many people who are, there's so many contributions in AIP, books, podcasts, whatever, websites, of people who are not clinicians, that's where it's a sticking point. And so it becomes then, I'm not doing AIP right, or I'm not trying hard enough, or I have to AIP harder. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like it can move into a totally different area, emotional area, of feeling like there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the diet. Mm-hmm. And that is not true. There's actually something wrong with the diet, not anything wrong with you. And so I work in that realm, which is helping people uncover that truth. There's nothing wrong with them. And that AIP is one of the really cool things that doesn't work in the long term but it is a stepping stone into a deeper wisdom awaiting everybody.
This is so good. So good. But I know we are talking about AIP, and I know that's where your focus is. But can I ask, can this be applied to other diets as well? That, you know, people are following, looking for, you know, some healing, and then they go to reintroduce some foods, or maybe they just start following it for too long, and then this record starts playing in their head that something's wrong with them, because maybe it's not the fact that they aren't able to reintroduce foods, but it's just they're not really getting better. So they think it's them that there's something wrong with.
Yeah. So part of it is practicality, which is find a good practitioner who can help you figure out what the root is for you from a physiological perspective. I have a woman who had Giardia, and she didn't know, and she had been on AIP for over 3 years and was literally stuck on 5 foods. So we tested her gut, and it turned out that she had Giardia with no symptoms. As soon as she dealt with the Giardia, she could introduce foods again. So there's just a practical example based in physiology. The other example is that we are really up against a strong cultural programming rooted in shame and tribalism, which, you know, at the root of it, we all just want to feel meaning and we want to belong. And so there's a really great side where we're going to find our food tribes. But there might be implications to that. And so I always see the implication is that you're perhaps uncovering how to find the safety inside through belonging to tribal diet movements that sometimes don't work for people in the long run, because restriction never is healing, mm-hmm. because it's a lack mentality.
And I really want to get into that. And I like how you pointed out, you know, there's kind of 2 ways you can go about it with your example, right? You can start doing testing, and that's what I offer to my clients as well. You know, they're not seeing progress, so we do a comprehensive stool analysis, and sure enough, we find a parasite or some type of infection or, you know, something compromising their gut or immune system in some sort of way. But then there's also this mentality or this belief system and all of this deep core inner stuff that they're holding on to that can be affecting them from moving forward. And I know it's really difficult to uncover that stuff that we need to heal in order to move on. So where do you even begin with that, Jessica?
It's a really good question. The first thing I offer as advice is that no matter who's listening to this podcast and what each person who is listening, however they eat, that they can meet themselves where they're at right now. So something about what they've been doing has been working. So we don't want to throw that out. Right now, though, as we're sitting here talking, having this conversation, and they're hearing this, they might want to lean in right now, lean into themselves, lean into this, the place that they are with the diet and their lifestyle, and ask themselves, do I feel expansion or restriction? And some people are going to feel expansion and some people are going to feel restriction. So if you feel expansion, then that's a great sign that whatever you're doing is working for you. If you lean in to your lifestyle right now and how you're eating and you feel contraction, then that's information. And so restricted diets, while none of them might work in the long term, it's important from my perspective to understand that none of them are wrong, because they all help us develop a deeper understanding about what's working in our life and what's not working. And so illness is always here to wake us up to something. So is how we eat. So is diet culture. So is shame culture. You know, so my advice would be, use everything as information to decide what it is, what your relationship is with how you're eating right now.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us some examples I know it's going to be probably fairly obvious to someone who looks within themselves and feels, you know, restricted or, you know, trapped in a way. But if they've been following this type of diet for so long, and I know for me personally, years ago, it was hard for me to actually tune in and understand whether or not I did feel expansion or I felt restriction. Do you have clients like this?
That it took them a while to kind of understand that?
Yeah, to really tap into their truth and what it was that they felt from their diet. I was just thinking maybe we can provide the listeners with some examples of whether or not you are in an abundance mentality or the feeling of lack and restriction.
Well, first is that we live in a culture that promotes going outside of yourself to find the answers. So the first thing is recognize that the culture's set up that way. So in some ways it might feel awkward or like you're going against the grain to lean into your own heart and say, I've been doing whatever it is. You know, I don't want to call out any diets here because I feel like they all have usefulness, but you know, let's use Atkins, cause that one's kind of, you know, like 20 years ago.
Perfect.
I've been using the Atkins. I've been on the Atkins diet for 2 years. Lean into it, into this idea, imagine a picture in your head and then actually emotionally lean into that place in your heart where you're living out of the Atkins diet is, you know, providing me with health, and see what you notice. And so a lot of this is trusting that what you notice in your body is credible. So once you do that, then you can, you know, decide what it was that you just felt.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Because I just know, like you said, we're so used to seeking our answers from outside of us. So I just wanted you to kind of give an example of how to tune in and tap into what your truth actually is. So that was great.
A lot too, when you do this, what you'll notice is that you have very innocent beliefs about how diets might keep you safe. And so in AIP, these are some of the ones that I hear a lot. I don't feel safe unless I'm on AIP because I might relapse my disease. I don't feel safe eating. I don't feel safe eating nightshades. You know, so there's some parts which is you'll notice that you actually have words about safety that are included in your diet. We don't want to remove the practical piece, which is for some people, nightshades really bother them. That's really practical. But when we start using the words safety, fixing, I'm not succeeding, or I'm not trying hard enough, when we start hearing those words, then that might be a good place to kind of go in with help from practitioners who understand this work and help you decide or understand more deeply what it is that you believe about how food is keeping you safe. So food provides a structure that is really valuable, but the ultimate safety that humans are looking for always comes from our loving. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am so happy you chimed in and added that piece because my history is actually with eating disorders. So a lot of the women that are tuning into these episodes have, you know, a history of eating disorders or maybe are currently battling an eating disorder or disordered eating. So when you started speaking about safety in regards to AIP, because I definitely know a lot of my friends have been on the AIP diet and they feel safety within that, right? But my kind of audience, you know, a lot of the women, and I'll just use myself as an example. For years, I followed a meal plan and I felt a huge amount of safety in following a specific like template for how my meals should be structured. And I felt a huge amount of safety in weighing my food and measuring every single thing that went into my mouth. So I would love to talk more about how to maybe like overcome this issue of seeing the way we're eating as being safe, because I know that was something huge for me and really difficult for me to overcome, actually.
Well, it's a really practical way to move out of your center and your loving to find the safety. And so when we're talking about our society actually promotes that, it markets marketing. There's tons of marketing about, oh, you go outside of yourself and then you'll be safe. And meal plans are one of those things. Now, always practical piece, you know, which is when we eat a certain way, it might promote inflammation inside of our system. But what you're talking about is actually, it sounds like I was eating a certain way to keep myself safe through the meal plans. So that's a difficult thing, like you said, to kind of overcome. And that happens a lot within my client population in autoimmune paleo. But what I would say to you is that when we start appreciating all the places inside of ourselves that have in the past kept us safe no matter what, and we honor that, we can actually like look at that part of you that worked so hard on behalf of you to keep you safe for so long. That oftentimes we go through that, like as humans, that practical piece, which is we just tried it a certain way and to see if it was going to work. And for you, you came to a place where you started to say, wait, hold on, maybe this isn't working for me. And then you met the next thing in your life and look where you are now. Mm-hmm. And so, because what happens is a lot of times we go into self-judgment or self-persecution. Look at all those years that I had this eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And so what I'd say to that is, look at how for all those years, how you set up a way to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
And now you're looking into a deeper place to keep yourself safe. Mm-hmm. And so it tends to build upon one upon the other. So from that respect, we use everything to build wisdom.
I love that so much. And it truly is all about really being aware of the fact that we are looking outside of ourselves for safety when in reality, our safety is coming from within. So I know what you just said was absolutely beautiful, but it was more so geared towards, you know, eating disorders, disordered eating. What if the safety is coming from keeping a certain food out of our diet, like more so like the clients that you work with, following AIP and by keeping nightshades out of their diet, they are definitely feeling safe.
Well, the relationship to the issue is always the cure. So the more that we appreciate all the ways that we can keep ourselves safe, and that oftentimes we're led to do that outside of ourselves, we are able to start discerning that more often as it comes into our life. And then the more that we can trust the inner signaling and what we hear from our heart, then the more we can start looking at all the ways that our love can touch the places inside of ourselves that has decided that it's not safe to find the safety inside. And that in turn changes the relationship that we have to the issue.
Okay. So you said something about trust, Jessica. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when you start asking your clients to start trusting themselves and trusting, you know, their inner wisdom, a lot of fear also starts bubbling up, or, you know, maybe comments saying, well, I don't know how to trust myself. Is this true?
Yes. And that's usually based on a set of misunderstandings that got built up in life through hard things that happened. So it is hard to trust yourself if you think that God forgot about you. It is hard to trust yourself if you think something is broken and is beyond repair. It's really difficult to trust yourself if you think that healing happens when you try really hard. So with my clients, we uncover those things first. We uncover what are the misunderstandings that are held inside of you that keep you separate from the truth that it's okay to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And I do that through self-forgiveness. So a lot of times we go in and we clear up the misunderstandings that got built to help us survive difficult things.
Okay. So obviously it would be different for everyone, but it's yes. all about uncovering those truths about what brought you here, like what brought you to having that, you know, lack of trust with yourself.
Yeah. In an odd way, this happens through restrictive eating. I'm going to be really good. I'm going to be really good about my eating. I'm going to make smart, healthy choices. The idea that there's a pass, fail, or a win, lose.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of us get into that mentality as well, right? Is like the black or white, the pass or fail, that good or bad mentality. And that's probably something that you work a lot with your clients, because I think when we follow restrictive diets, we, you know, not even purposefully, but we start seeing the foods that we've eliminated as maybe bad foods. And is that something you help your clients overcome as well? The fear that maybe these foods that they've been restricting from themselves for months or maybe years aren't actually bad.
Correct.
Yeah.
So my teacher said something to me, I don't know how long it's been now, 7 years, that changed the course of my life and created such a deep inquiry that I'm still thinking about it today.
Wow.
And he said, when you've decided something is good or that something is bad, you've moved away from God.
That's huge.
And because I had kind of set up my life to be a good person, volunteer, eat healthy. I was the class parent in my daughter's kindergarten class. You know, I set my whole life up to be in the good category, and my life still fell apart, and my husband still left me, and I still lost my house. And you know what I mean? So I had a really difficult struggle inside of myself because I decided, I must not deserve to have a happy life because I do good. And yet I still got it all taken away from me. And so then there's this pass fail thing that happens. So I had to go through that myself, which helped me strip away any idea that there was that there was any way to get to God.
Okay. So yeah, when you had that good, bad mentality, how did you start stripping that away?
The first thing that I did was I decided that the places that I thought were the most broken inside of me, which for me was my childhood, that I was a lovable person. And so my mom didn't raise me, and I was born premature, and I spent the first month in the hospital not being breastfed and not being touched, really. And I had to go back and reconcile that I was a beautiful baby who deserved love. And I went back and I did that myself. And so I took the pressure off of my parents, because that never got done. They were just doing the best that they could. Mm-hmm. And I touched my own loving to the places that had decided way back when that there was always something broken about me. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't get the loving, the safety, and the security when I was first born and growing up. So there must be something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And that followed me, followed me around. But then when I had the vulnerability, and it was scary, I had to be vulnerable enough to decide that if I went to touch my own loving to the places that I thought were so cast out by God, that I would not go drowned. Like, to me, it felt like drowning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this can understand that, you know, the parts of them that feel the most traumatized are the parts that we push away the most. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with my people and I went back and I placed my own loving there. Mm-hmm. And that produced a moment where the good and the bad of life didn't matter as much. My willingness to love the places that hurt did.
Mm-hmm. And that is so important. And something I just want to point out is, you know how you said the like traumatic events in your life, you know, even from a newborn being in the hospital, not being breastfed, this wasn't something that you were like consciously carrying around with you for your entire life, I assume. It's something that you have to come to discover and dig and see, oh, like, look at what happened, and that's what I'm holding on to, right? It's something that you have to kind of put yourself in the place to discover.
Yeah, because we humans tend to do things, you know, so this is where restrictive diets come in, which is they can be a gateway into transformation. Restrictive diets might not work, but they're not wrong. They help us to understand that there's a deeper prompting. Life is asking you to go more fully into the places that need your own loving.
Mm-hmm. So I really do want to talk more about the restrictive diets and the mentality when we go into a restrictive diet seeking healing. But you said earlier in this episode that when, you know, like restriction doesn't heal you, but there's so many of us going into restrictive diets seeking healing. So I really want to get into this with you.
So if the relationship to the issue is always the cure, then you're going to have some people who do can go on a 21-day juice cleanse and they actually feel transformation inside of them. Mm-hmm. Because the relationship that they had to that 21-day juice cleanse is different than another person that went into the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I got this diagnosis and I'm not going to let Hashimoto's be stronger than me. I'm going to show it who's boss. I'm going to juice cleanse my way through it. Now, okay, that's a little dramatic, but I'm using it as an example. Mm-hmm. Versus, wow, I feel really aligned with just kind of taking a break from food and like letting myself be on this cleanse and you know, notice what happens. So even as people hear me say that, they feel something different from each of those responses.
Totally.
Which means that it's never really about the food. It's never really about the diet.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So what if someone is following a restrictive diet, whether that be AIP or maybe even paleo feels restrictive to them, or keto feels, that's one that we're hearing a lot of these days, right? But I love, you said this in an Instagram post, it like no matter what the diet is, like it's restrictive, right? And if you go into it with that mentality, as you just described, you're in a restricting, lacking mentality. And when we are in a mindset of lack, we cannot heal. So if someone is listening to this right now, because I know there are going to be so many people listening to this and thinking, okay, that's exactly where I am right now. Where do they go? Where do they go from there?
So it's useful to spend some time in an inquiry inside of yourself, looking at, am I using this diet to fix myself because I think that there is something wrong, mm-hmm. versus eating a diet that's healing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if their answer is yes, because I know many of them are going to be, you know, responding yes when they do take that moment to go within themselves.
What do they do?
Mm-hmm. Like what's...
Well, yeah. First, it's going to be different because some people are not ready to look at other avenues of safety and security inside themselves because trusting themselves seems like a totally far off place. Mm-hmm. And so what I do with my clients is I meet everybody where they're at. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody listening to this takes a moment to be quiet inside themselves and they realize that there's some beliefs that they have that a diet is going to fix them because they need fixing, then they can, if they just witness that and they're just with that, that piece of information, a lot of times it will just lead you to the next place. Leading them to the next place might be sitting and examining that for a while, or going to a practitioner or a therapist that can help you uncover those misunderstandings associated with that. For some people, they've already been working on that. And so if they notice the next thing that shows up, they might be in a bookstore roaming around and there might be a book that they notice that is a completely different avenue of healing than they ever have thought of before. Mm-hmm. And so then it's up to us to be very open to the next thing that the universe is going to give us while maintaining practicality.
Right. Not going into something else with the mindset that it's going to fix them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or, you know, like, let's say they have celiac and they are like, well, I'm just going to start eating gluten again. That would not be a practical step. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, this is something that I talk a lot about with my clients. It's like, well, how do I avoid foods XYZ because I actually need to eliminate them? Such, and we'll use gluten as an example, right? Like, I know that I can't eat gluten. I personally can't eat gluten. And it's like, how do I go about that in a way that isn't coming from a place of lack and restriction? And for me, I always tell my clients or anyone I'm giving this information to is I'm always coming from a place of love. I know that it's a more loving decision for myself to not eat this food that I know my body doesn't tolerate than it is to just start eating it, right? Because it's not restricting myself. I'm curious to hear your approach to this.
So you're saying like if I had a client who doesn't eat gluten
because she can't.
Because
they can't. Yeah, celiac disease, and she's feeling restriction because she's approaching it with that mindset. I encourage her to shift her mindset and realize that it's not restriction that she's after. It's coming from a place of love. She is providing her body with more love by not eating the food that her body, you know, legitimately cannot tolerate.
So a lot of times I go back to, why is that mindset there to begin with? And mm-hmm. was that set up to keep them safe in some way? Was it built on a misunderstanding? And so illness is always here to wake us up to something. Mm-hmm. And so when we clear up our misunderstandings, that builds wisdom. So there's a really profound effect of us kind of messing for what we think is messing up and then moving past it. And so like restrictive diets are one of the things that I see. So many people are hard on themselves. Like they like, oh, I restricted dieting for so long and now I'm past that. No, restricted dieting built an incredible treasure trove of information about how you find safety inside of yourself. And so when it comes to food and restriction and why people choose the way that they do, I always go back to what was it that you had happen in your life that set up the frame of safety that you have currently? Because see, beliefs are the lens that we look out to life through. So if you were 3 years old, and let's take a really, I'm going to make this up, totally benign thing, but let's say you're 3 and your mom had been stay-at-home mom. And then all of a sudden your mom was like, oh, I got my dream job and now I'm going to go work. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to be a nurse. And so you're 3 and now all of a sudden your mom, you have a babysitter taking care of you and your mom isn't there anymore. So as a three-year-old, you might decide something like, the people I love leave me. Mm-hmm. And so if you think that the people you love leave me, then that's going to become the lens. When you don't do anything about it, you don't reconcile it. When it's conscious, it goes into the unconscious. And then that becomes the lens to which we look out. And so how we choose our healing plans becomes the lens to which we look out to.
Oh my gosh. From life.
And so I have my clients look at those things. And then biology shifts in response to that. And then belief systems shift in response to that. Because the opposite of people I love leave me is I'm always safe, even if it seems like people are leaving me. Mm-hmm. And so food helps us work those things out.
So food really is like that entry point of allowing us to tune in so much deeper within ourselves and explore, right? It can act as that invitation.
Not only is it important, but I created the entire spiritual coaching certification program to help practitioners learn how to apply this in a professional way. Because loving, the consciousness of loving is an incredibly powerful transformative tool that's available to all of us unconditionally in unlimited amounts. Mm-hmm. And it's like a bank account that never runs out, that's inside of our heart, that changes our biology and can even change how food reacts inside our body. And so not only is this a powerful healing tool, but I feel like it is going to become the healing tool.
I cannot even agree more. And Jessica, I am so proud of you for creating the program that you did. When I first saw you post about it, I was like, I need this in my life. So I am very proud of you for creating that program, because I know it is the way that we need to approach our clients and, you know, the mindset that we need when we are supporting them, because it goes beyond diet. It's not about the food.
Well, there's a lot of trainings that you can do now, and a lot of them are virtual, and there's not a lot of human interaction, and, you know, there's lots of ways that we can help people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people are continue to look for meaning and purpose. And when we can apply meaning and purpose into what feels like has been a death sentence when we get diagnosed with a really serious issue or disease, then it can transform how we look out at our life. Mm-hmm. And so we're not seeing any slowdown in what's happening on the planet as far as disease and diagnoses go. And what I'm seeing is actually a lot of the opposite, where not only are people totally aware that this is happening, but they are following what they're told to do to a T. Just like, you know, you were following your meal plans. People are already perfect performers. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing there to go past that. There are ways to go past that, from my understanding. We're just getting started. Mm-hmm. When I have perfect performers who feel really hopeless, I get really excited when that happens, because there's a level of readiness inside of them that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you go within, right?
We go within.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. It is such a journey. And honestly, like I said, I could talk to you forever, and I honestly could have an entire part two of this episode talking even more about the lack mentality and going, you know, moving into a place of believing that I am whole, you know, because there's so many of us with that dialogue that we need to be fixed or that we're broken. So with just a few more minutes left of this episode, is there something else that you could say to those listeners that do have that on repeat, that do hold on to that belief of either being broken or that they need to be fixed?
That there is a well-developed resource inside their hearts right now that will give them information that they can trust. And that if each day they were to check in inside their heart and say to themselves, what do I experience when I hold this way of eating that I've been doing inside of myself? Do I experience in my body expansion or contraction? That just that query alone will not only can they trust it, but it will take them to the next place if they feel hopeless or alone. And that the most powerful healing that we're all looking for, that we have multi-million dollar health movements built upon, already exists inside of you. All of the tools necessary to do anything you're going to do for the rest of your life is already planted inside of you.
Thank you so much. Now, with every single guest I have on the podcast, they cannot leave without telling me what it means to them to be unbreakable.
To be unbreakable to me is the journey that I made inside of myself in the very normal process. It was not an explosion of fireworks in the sky. It was a very ordinary moment when I really tripped into discovering that I was a lovable person and that my loving was enough. And when I discovered that, I realized that that was what Christ talked about on the planet. And for me, that was the most transformative moment of my life.
Thank you so much. I wish I could just like reach through the screen right now and give you the biggest hug. But I know this won't be the last time.
I'm thanking you for all the work that you're doing. And having these conversations changes the vibration of how we heal. And the more that we do it, the more people know that this is an option for them. So thank you for doing this work.
Thank you, Jessica. And you mentioned at the beginning where everyone can find you, but if you just want to do a little wrap up for that, when's your website changing?
It's changing within the next month.
Okay.
So jessicaflanagan.com. But people can private message me on Instagram at AIP Lifestyle if they're interested in the spiritual coaching program. My email, my work email is info@AIPLifestyle. And they can go to my website, AIPLifestyle.com. That's where people can schedule appointments and things like that.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And like I said, I could just keep chatting with you, but I will let everyone go and absorb all of the love that you shared with us today. Thank you.
I'm honored. Thank you for asking me to be on.